This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the love gift of Thy Spirit to our soul. And it is by Thy Spirit that we've been convicted of sin and convinced of our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit we're able to walk day by day and Thy grace made to work in our heart and life. And we thank You for it. And we desire to please Him and not to grieve Him and not to quench Him, because He is Thy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And we do pray, blessed Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt do Thy work in our hearts, in our midst, as the Word goes forth today, that Thou wilt do the work which only Thou canst do, and that is to save precious souls. Oh, for Christ's sake we pray, and in His name, amen.
Where my labor
And I, for one, am going to praise my Lord throughout all eternity for that great grace that He gives to us daily and hourly in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Lord, what a Savior, what a Redeemer God has provided for us in the Lord Jesus, so that daily and hourly He can give us of this grace freely out of a heart of love. I just praise Him and thank Him for it. Do you? We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, dear friend, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Are you praying for us? We desire that you will. We covet an interest in your prayers. And as we preach the Word of God, it'll go home to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls and young people. God will use it for His glory. Will you write us this week and tell us that you're standing with us in prayer? We're praying for you. God would use His Word in your heart. And when you write, ask for your free book that we're giving away this month, entitled The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther. This is claimed to be the greatest of all Luther's writings, as he goes in and shows from the Word of God that the human will, because of sin, is in bondage, and that it takes the grace of a sovereign God to save a hell-deserving sinner. A book of over 400 pages. You'll want a copy for your pursuit. Would be happy to send it to you free and postpaid, entitled The Book, The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther. Ask for it by name. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We have been speaking to you on the last few weeks on the subject, saving faith, what is it? And we've laid before you from God's Word four essential elements or ingredients of true saving faith, whereby we could test whether or not we possess this grace of God in truth. Let me give them to you again. First, we spoke about that true saving faith, that it consists of a yielding to the authority of God, which means a submitting of myself to His rule. Second, we showed you that true saving faith consists of a genuine coming to Christ, which means I leave my sins behind. Third, true saving faith consists in the complete surrender of my whole being and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which means I embrace Christ in all of His offices as prophet, priest, and king. Fourth, true saving faith consists in a believing on Christ with the heart, with the affections, and with the will. It was to this fourth essential ingredient of saving faith that we looked in our last message, and which we desire to look at again today. We will cover this ground slowly so that we may truly understand that saving faith is much more than just giving a mental assent to a few verses of Scripture logically explained to our intellect. I want you to listen. It's not that I desire to bring forth something new, and it's not making much to do over nothing, but it's laying upon your heart and mind and be out before you how the Holy Spirit works faith in us and how He moves in our hearts by His marvelous grace. There are three principal faculties by which we come to Christ by faith and lay hold of Him to the saving of our never-dying souls. They are the understanding, the affections, and the will. You see, God has so made us that these three faculties are subordinate one to another and follow in that order: understanding, affection, and will. One faculty is influenced by the other. Let me again today illustrate this by looking at Genesis 3:6 to see how our first parents sinned and used these three faculties. Listen to God's Word. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Watch it now. As this portion unfolds to us, the use of the understanding, the affections, and the will. The Scripture says the woman saw, that is, she perceived, that the tree was good for food. There we have the understanding. And it was in this way that she came to the conclusion that the tree was good for food. This knowledge registered with her. Then the Scripture says that this food was pleasant to the eyes. There we have the response of her affections. She loved what she saw. Then the Scripture says that it was a tree to be desired. There we have the will in operation. Now she willed to take and eat it. Why? Because her understanding told her that the tree was good for food. Next, her affections went out after the fruit because she saw that the food was pleasant to the eye. And then her will was stirred to action because it now desired this fruit for food. The Scripture says, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And here we have the completed act. All right? You following us? Listen to me now. For true saving faith to operate in the saving of our never-dying souls, it must come into the understanding by this knowledge of Christ from the Scriptures, into the affections, and then they are stirred to go out in love toward the Christ of the Word, and then the affections in turn influence and move the will. In this way, every faculty of the soul is put forth in a savingly coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my dear friend, as I said before, I am not making much to do over nothing. I am giving you the basic principle of saving faith. And if saving faith did not come to you in this way, then all you have is a false faith based only on a mental assent to some proposition made to you from the Word of God. You see, this brings in the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation because the understanding being darkened, Ephesians 4:18. We cannot see in the Lord Jesus Christ a suitable Savior for our never-dying souls. Thus the affections cannot go out to Him in love, and the will will not come to Christ that we might have life. But praise the Lord, when the Holy Spirit does come to our dead spirit and soul, He quickens it, He makes it alive, and then He gives to our understanding the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as revealed in the Christ of the gospel. And then our affections are drawn out after the Lord Jesus as the lovely and precious deliverer. And then the will is drawn out to close in savingly with Him. You see, my dear friend, before this happens, the Word of God says, and I know from experience that we lie dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, our will can only choose sin because our understanding tells us that sin and its pleasures are the best for us. And the affections which have been prostituted by our darkened understanding love the pleasures of time and sense more than the pleasures of Christ in heaven. Therefore, the will always acts upon this knowledge and these affections. You see, the will is stimulated to choose sin every time. And this is what God's Word says. Listen to John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Watch it now. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There it is, right there. It's God's Word. You love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. And because you love evil and you hate light, you will not come to that light lest your deeds should be reproved. So your understanding, which is darkened, tells you that sin and pleasure is far greater and best for you than the glory of God and the Christ of Calvary. Your affections go out after sin, and then your will can only act in a way of sin. It chooses sin every time, because of what the darkened understanding and the prostituted affections tell you. Or that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes today to see the awful state that you're in outside of Christ, and that He must give you a new heart and a new nature for you to save and to close in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as we go into the second of these faculties today, that is, that we come to Christ savingly with our affections, because last week we spoke to the understanding. Let us notice first that the Scriptures teach this, and second, show how the Holy Spirit inclines our affections unto Christ. For Galatians 5:6 tells us that faith, true saving faith, worketh by love. Watch all of these Scriptures now. The Word of God's filled with this. Watch it now. In Romans 5:5 we read, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." You see, it is in this way that we come to Christ savingly with our affections, because the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, and this sets the affections on fire after Christ as we behold in Him a suitable Savior for our never-dying souls. Isn't that precious? That God would do this for your speaker. He would do this for a hell-deserving sinner like your speaker. Shed abroad the love of God in his heart. Now look at Romans 8:28. We read there that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. To those who are the called according to His purpose. We see here that there is more than just a mental assent to some truth. It is the affections going out to God in Christ. It is loving Him, setting a high value and esteem upon Him, so much so that we are willing to leave all that we may follow Him. And then we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And how do we get this love? It is God dealing our understanding to open our hearts to show us the love of God toward us in Christ, and our affections begin to go out after Him. We read again in 1 Corinthians 2:9 these words, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." You hear the words? It reads, that love Him. Not only believe on Him, but love Him. This is the affections going out after Him as we see in Him the giver of all things. Are you listening? The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." You see, this is the affections going out after Him, as we see how He will come for us in power and great glory. You see, the second coming of Christ to the believer is not just an event, but it is the glorious appearing of the one my soul has learned to love. And as Colossians 3, 2 and 3 puts it, our affection is set on things above, not on things on the earth, because we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Let us go further. In James 1, 12, it is put this way, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." Not only believe on Him, but whose affection is set upon Him. He loves Him. Did you know, my friend, that the Word of God pronounces a curse upon everyone who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, He does. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, let him be anathema, Maranatha, the judgment's coming, because the Lord is coming the second time." You see, woe be to everyone who makes a profession of faith. Listen to me now. I want you to get this next statement. May the Holy Spirit register it upon your heart. Listen now. Woe be to everyone who makes a profession of faith in Christ and yet does not love Him in truth and in sincerity. Who do not love Him that they may flee from sin and to hold only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me again. Woe be to everyone who makes a profession of faith in Christ and yet does not love Him in sincerity and in truth, whereby that they might flee from their wicked ways. You see, God demands more than just lip service. For hear his words in Matthew 18:15-8. This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, that God would take that home to every false professor under the sound of my voice today. Yes, Christ will have nothing less than the whole man. Our affection. Colossians 3:2, and it's singular. Set your affection on things above. The whole man must be set upon him. You see, dear friend, it is a love that will make a poor sinner cry out like Job, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Or like the bride in the Song of Solomon, when speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem as she was seeking the bridegroom, she said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Unto Job and the bride, the Lord Jesus is precious. And they have set their love and their sights upon him. And it's when we see a beauty and a glory in the person of the Lord Jesus, then our hearts will be drawn out after him, for we find in him a safe hiding place and a resting place from the storm of God's wrath. Are you listening? In the second place, we will try to show you how the Holy Spirit inclines our affection unto Christ. You see, when the Holy Spirit begins to open our hearts to the preciousness of Christ, in his condescension from heaven's heights to earth's depths, to die in our place, then there is a moving of the heart and the affection after him. Again, when the Holy Spirit opens our heart to behold in the blood of Christ a cleansing, then there is the moving of the heart and the affection after him. When the Holy Spirit opens our heart to behold the work that Christ performed in keeping the law perfect in our behalf, and dying beneath the wrath of that broken law, then the heart and the affections are moved toward him. It is in this way, from the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit produces true saving faith in our hearts, and our affections are drawn out after the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is when the Holy Spirit opens our heart to see that the perfect righteousness of Christ has been imputed to our account in heaven, and that the justice of God has been satisfied for our sins, that the heart and the affection are drawn out after Christ. Yes, it is when the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to let us see that Christ has been made unto us wisdom for our ignorance, righteousness for our guiltiness, sanctification for our vileness, and redemption for our enslavement, that our hearts and our affection are moved out after him. It is in this way that the Holy Spirit gets us to hate our sins as we see what they did to the one we now love. It is in this way that the Holy Spirit gets us to leave the world with all of its pleasure and sin, for we see in the world and our sins that which put the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved, to death. It is in this way that the Holy Spirit frees the will that it will say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes to the cross, yes to bearing his reproach, yes to the straight and narrow way, yes to a life of self-denial instead of self-pleasing. And you ask why? It is because the Holy Spirit has worked in our understanding and it has been enlightened to behold a beauty and a glory and a majesty in the person of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Now the affection goes out in love to him, and the will, because it's been enlightened by the understanding and been drawn out after Christ by the affections, the will now decides for Christ. He appropriates the Lord Jesus. He believes him, and he comes to rest by faith in sweet, blessed assurance upon him. My beloved, this is the way the God of the Bible works in our hearts and minds and souls, and he does it by working in our understanding, our affection, and our will. Oh, my friend, let me ask you, if the Holy Spirit has thus dealt with your soul, have you been enlightened by his quickening power? Have you seen any beauty in Christ that you might desire him? Has your heart longed after him as the one whom you must have or else you die? Has your will closed with Christ? And have you surrendered all to him for life and for eternity? I trust that you have come this way. If not, I tell you from the depths of my soul, because I love you, you're yet in your sins. Because saving faith does not come with just a logical dealing with the Word of God and a mental assent to some truth we hear from the Word of God. Oh, no. The understanding must be enlightened, and that takes the power of God's Spirit. The affection must go out after Him, as we've described today. And then, praise God, the will decides for Christ, appropriates Him, believes Him, and comes to rest by faith in sweet, blessed assurance upon Him. For he finds in Christ his all in all. My friend, have you heard us? All that the Holy Spirit would take it home. You want a copy of these messages? Will you write for them? They're free. We'll be happy to send them to you. Saving faith. What is it? Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.